Good morning. Let's be honest. You tired here today? How many of you are wore out? I know I'm wore out. Anybody here sad? Anybody going through some difficult times? Anybody concerned that their hearts are being hardened, that we're just getting to a point where it's just a lot easier to be apathetic, to be indifferent, so that the pain starts to become a little bit more dull in life? You know, it's very easy to become that way, especially when you consider the nihilism that seems to be so pervasive in our lives. Friedrich Nietzsche, hope in reality is the worst of all evils because it prolongs the torments of man. Makes sense when you consider the life that he led. But church, I want to encourage you to not lose hope. Hope is essential in our spiritual life. In fact, Martin Luther King Jr. stated that we must accept that there is disappointment. But disappointment that it is finite. But we never lose infinite hope. Dostoevsky, the Russian novelist, said, "To live without hope is to cease to live." I like how Paul finished his letter to those at Rome and said, Romans 15:13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." We're just going to take a little bit of time here this morning to talk about hope. Because I venture to say in every one of your lives, as in my life, we need hope. Hope is extremely significant when it comes to the Scriptures. In fact, that it's mentioned quite often in the Scriptures. The Hebrew word for hope is tikvah. And what that means is an expectation or a strong expression of faith. In fact, the psalmist would compare hope many times to that of a solid, great rock. Not a stone, or not even a garden rock that you see maybe at the end of a driveway. But this would be, in many ways, a mountain. It is firm. It is immovable. That's hope. In the Greek, the word here is ellipsis. The root of that word is ellipo, which is to anticipate with an emotional pleasure, but not just an emotional pleasure, a mental pleasure, a pleasure that is fully encompassing of our being. Because it's an expectation or a trust or confidence that pervades us all throughout our body. It is a guarantee that something will be met. That's hope. So my prayer, as I said this morning, is maybe we just spend a little bit of time hoping. Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, in verse 11, you guys are familiar with this. In fact, if you were at the graduation ceremony yesterday here at HCM brought this up. And in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and future." Now, one of the things that's interesting about this, as he brought up, is that before God makes it clear through Jeremiah the prophet that you're going into captivity because of all the hardships that you've created for yourselves and everyone else, for your spiritual disobedience and lack of desire for my truth, But, you know, we always get after that conjunction. But sometimes but can be a wonderful conjunction. But during that time of captivity, where you're going to be there for 70 years, know this. I have plans that will give you hope. In Micah chapter 7, and Micah here, a prophet as well, says, "But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me." And understand this with Micah. Micah is going forth eventually to where there will be 400 years of nobody hearing anything until there will be one, like a voice in the wilderness, preparing the way. And what does Micah say? I watch hope for the Lord. But it's not those in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, that have hope. But we have hope as well. In Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 24-25, says, "For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is not hope at all, who hopes for what they already have. But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." The Hebrew writer says hope in Hebrews 10:23, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess." As Christians, we are to exude a hope. And it is hard. Because as we started off, we're tired. We're wore out. We're upset. We're mad. We're indifferent. You know, the song says love stinks. Sometimes I just think life stinks. But yet the Hebrew writer says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, because he who promised is faithful." And then Peter says in 1 to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, "In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Church, we have hope. So we're going to look at a couple of things here this morning. As we've laid the foundation for where we're at right now, which is, for many of us, not a good place. And you know, it's supposed to be the end of the school year. Woohoo! You know what? Maybe that's just a nice reminder from God himself. When Jesus said, "Suffer not the little children, but let them come to me." That's the kingdom right there. But yet, I see all the difficult things in my life, in my family's life, the stress, the tired, the hurt, the agony, and it's hard not to lose hope. But yet when I see Scripture and I see how much the mind of God is focused on, maybe we should just take a few minutes to talk about hope. Join me in prayer. God, we thank you for this day. And Lord God, as we take some time and have laid down the foundation of hope, this morning we're going to look here today at what hope is and what it's not, but why we should look to hope. Why it's essential in our lives. Father God, we are so grateful and we praise you for who you are. We praise you for the Son and the Spirit, because the three of you together work in our lives to give us hope. And we pray, Lord God, as we look at the Scripture and we are reinvigorated with what hope is, that, Lord God, we cling to hope because it will help us through you day by day. We praise you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen. So with the couple of minutes we have here today, as we've laid the foundation of what hope is, I want us to look at what hope is not, what hope is, but then more importantly, why it's just nice to be reminded and why we need to remind ourselves every day about why we need hope. Now, I want us to understand that hope is not two things. Okay, number one, hope is not wishful thinking. Many times we have this idea that hope is wishful thinking. In fact, in C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity, he spends book three, he spends a chapter where he talks about hope. And he mentions these two things. He says for some people, they have this idea that hope is a wishful thinking. That this means that a continual looking forward to the eternal world is not a form of escapism. That's not what it's... We are not looking to heaven as just getting out of here or wishful thinking. But that's what, as a Christian, we're meant to do. A Christian's desire is for eternity. A Christian's desire is to be with God and the Son. A Christian's desire is heaven bound. It's not just a tooth fairy. It's not just Santa Claus. It's not just our dreams. But it is something that is real and assured. That's what hope is. When we are talking to people, see the scripture about the hope we profess. That is not fantasy or fiction. That is reality. We are not existentialist, where we do not believe that there's a reality. We do not believe there's something as truth. We are not nihilist, who do not believe that there are values. We believe in the purity of Jesus Christ and the Word and the hope that they give. Hope is not wishful thinking. But understand this too as well. It's important to be reminded that hope is not an abdication of our duties. We have a responsibility with our hope. We are to take that. And consider this. Consider the apostles and what they were able to do during the time of the Roman Empire because of the hope that they had. The hope drove them to do something. Think about the Atlantic slave trade and the Christian learners and evangelicals that had hope that drove them to be the first in the world to outlaw slavery. Slavery still exists today, but it was the hope those who were Christian learners that had in Jesus Christ that drove them not to abdicate their duties, but to spread hope by freeing others. That is what hope is. It's doing our job. Hope is purpose. Hope is wishful thinking. Let's look at that, what hope is, a little bit more. Hope is desiring satisfaction. You ever feel like just nothing can satisfy that itch, whatever that might be? Have you ever considered that there's just something that seems to be missing, and you're not quite sure what that missing element is? You desire something, and you're not sure what? Well, let me just encourage you that that desire is because you're wanting something that you won't find. See, one of the things that C.S. Lewis said that is rather interesting is he says this. He says, I must keep alive in myself the desire for my true country, which I shall not find till after death. I must never let it get snowed under or turn aside. I must make it the main object of life to press on to that other country and to help others do the same. What he's talking about is he's understanding that in this world, I'm not satisfied because I know I have a longing or hope that can only be satisfied after I die. That's what hope is. Hope is something that is eternal after our death. Hope is heaven. Hope is the inexpressible. If you look at the scriptures and you consider what the scriptures say about heaven, heaven, if you look at Revelation, in many ways, let's be forthright. It kind of doesn't make sense. I know we want to, you know, you probably didn't expect to hear something like that. You were like, oh, okay, we're going to get some real great, you know, insight. I look at Revelation, and I look at Revelation 21 and 22, and I see John here as he's trying to describe what he is seeing in a vision, and he's describing it with streets of gold. He's describing it as a crystal sea. He's describing it, the walls with all these different jewels. And he's trying to express something that cannot be expressed. Because that's what hope is. It is the inexpressible. It is heaven. That's why we need hope. In Revelation 22, he says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the middle of its street. And on the other side of the river was a tree of life which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. That, to me, is John expressing something that he himself is having a hard time expressing. How do you express the glory of God? How do you express the holiness of God? How do you express the Godhead, the three in one, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, all the same, yet all different, all working together? How do you explain the universe, something that did not exist, being spoken into existence? And what hope is, hope helps to express that which is inexpressible. You know, it's very easy sometimes for us to like to blame things. You know, that's kind of the fool's way, if you will, you know. Something doesn't work out. Something becomes difficult. We want to blame something else. Maybe blame that person, blame that entity. No, there's no real thing that couldn't potentially lead to disappointment. But at the same time, maybe there's those that become disillusioned. Common sense says that, you know, this is as good as it gets, right? But the Christian says, creatures are not desires exist. If I find a desire that the world can't satisfy, then the most probable explanation is I've made for another world. And hope reminds us of the other world. So then, why talk about hope? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Helps us to understand why we should talk about hope. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I think this is a wonderful passage of Scripture that sometimes we might overlook something. We read this passage of Scripture and maybe we're at a wedding. And weddings are wonderful events. You can see the hope, the excitement in the groom's eye, the excitement in the bride's eye as they're looking at each other. And there's tears of joy. And they're smiling. And there's laughter. We're in the audience enjoying it and being awkward at the same time. And we hear this passage. Yes, we hear 1 Corinthians 13 at a wedding. And we hear that, yeah, greatest is love. Absolutely. But remember the things mentioned. Paul isn't saying that faith isn't great. What we have here is a superlative, if you will. It's a ranking of these three. This isn't a condemnation on faith by no stretch. Faith is great. And hope is great. Of these three, yes, love might be the greatest because love is eternal. But hope is to not be ignored. That's why Paul wrote this in his portion as he's talking about love. Because Paul is trying to think, if I am going to compare love as the greatest of things, what should I compare it to? Well, it's got to be faith. Faith is one of those things that is wonderful. It's a belief. But then it has to be hope. Why? Because hope is an expression of our belief. Hope is great. David understood that hope is great. And that's why we need to talk about this. Paul understood because he talks about it in comparison with love. But then in Psalm chapter 42, notice this here. David writes. And it's kind of assumed that when David is writing this psalm, and he's talking about hope, that he hasn't been able to go to worship in the temple for quite a number of could be months or even years. There's speculation that when he wrote this, maybe he is fleeing from Saul because he's trying to kill him, or David is currently king, but he's fleeing because he's dealing with, you know, his son rebelling against him and other situations. And notice, though, what David says here in Psalm 42 in these 11 verses. He says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. While people say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise. Among the festive throng, I am there with everyone else, and we're all in spiritual oneness, singing praises and emotionally, mentally, spiritually being filled. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. My Savior and my God, my soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the lands of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon from Mount Mizar, deep calls to deep waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me. A prayer to God of my life. I say to God, notice here, my rock. Remember, tikvah, the Hebrew word for hope, is the idea of that immovable rock. Why hope? Because of God. I say, God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by my enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foe taunts me, saying to me all the day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, but why are you downcast? Why so disturbed? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior, God. Why talk about hope? Well, church, I would say we talk about hope because we need hope. Because all of us are dealing with some struggles and tribulations. We're all dealing with some things that are making us downtrodden and are hurting us. And we need hope. We need the hope that we find in the scriptures that shows us how God will never leave us nor forsake us. That no one can take us out of the hand of God. Why do we need hope? Well, I would just encourage at least three reasons why. Number one is this, because it motivates us. Faith is a belief, but we need action. Hope is the expression of that faith. It's the action of that faith. We need hope because we need to be motivated to turn away from those things that hurt us, to turn away from those struggles, and to turn to God. Life is difficult. It is. I'm not preaching anything here that's new and, you know, different or thought-provoking. You all know this. Because you're all alive. You know how life is difficult. But we need hope. Second reason we need hope is that it inspires love. Have you ever considered in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that why did God do that? Because he had hope that there are those out there that will find redemption and propitiation in the blood of Jesus Christ. I mean, think about that. God sent his son because he hoped for you to make a decision to be a follower, to be a part of the family, so he can give you inheritance. Remember, Peter says, God is not slack concerning his promise. He's not lazy. He's not, you know, that student that has a project and they're going to wait till the night before. No, God's not slack concerning his promises, but what? He desires all men to repent. What Peter's talking about, God has hope. And that hope inspires God's love. Inspires our love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We need hope in our life to motivate our faith and to inspire our love for not just God, but for each other. Galatians chapter 6 talks about bearing one another's burdens. It talks about how we share with each other. You saw people raising hands. You saw people that were dealing with difficult things. You know what helps? Somebody coming up and giving a hug and, hey, what do you need? Love. And hope inspires not just love, but hope helps us to seek God. Because when you think about who God is, I've not seen God. The only time that God's ever spoken to me is through the Word, but yet hope is what motivates me to pursue that which I have not seen, to seek after God. So church, think about all the difficult things we've been dealing with. As we think about the fact that it's a beautiful day, but I'm struggling. Let us not forget hope. Because if you're a Christian, that's what you have. You have the hope, the assurance that is found in the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you feel like you're missing something, that you're just not satisfied, I would encourage you to consider that the reason why is because you're hoping for something that this world can't provide, but that another world can, one that's beyond, one where God is sitting, His Son at His right hand, on the throne in all majesty and glory. That's what you need. And if you're missing that hope in Jesus Christ, it's there. I would encourage you, speak to one of the elders, to speak to someone in leadership, but understand that salvation can be had for all men. There will be a time of judgment. Scripture says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. There will be judgment. But if you have a faith and a desire to change, to repent, you want to confess Christ as Savior, to come in contact spiritually and symbolically with the blood, and to live faithfully, but to live in hope faithfully, I encourage you to make that decision. Church, my prayer is for us to be reminded of the hope of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. And Lord God, as we consider hope, Lord, we know life is difficult, but sometimes we get sidetracked, we get blinded. And so we pray, Lord God, that as we look to the scripture, that we're just reminded of the hope that we have. We praise you and we thank you. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.